Well, thanks, Herman, for filling in for me last week. You know, I look forward to this, Romans chapter 12, a lot. And then I came up with the diverticulitis, and I don't know what God was trying to tell me, but He was telling me I couldn't start that day, maybe. But here I am. And so I would like to touch on some things in Hebrews chapter or Romans chapter 12. I'm not sure what you did, Herman.
I think if you just started where you wanted to start, we'd be fine.
Okay. I'm going to do a little recap. In chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So he's beseeching them. And I looked this up, and it's the same as saying, I beg of you, please. And it's therefore would be in light of. And so when you look back at all of Romans, we see, and we read these last time I was up here, we talked about justification, sanctification, and glorification. And then we talked about, as we go through Romans, that's what we see. And we talk about the failings of Israel and the inclusion of the Gentiles into the plan of salvation, the plan of God. Gentiles have been raised, us, we have been raised to an exalted position. And chapter 12 begins to tell us God's expectations for us, the Gentiles, and all Christians in light of what we've learned in Romans. Everything that we've learned, God tells us that His expectations. So God has laid out what He's done, and now He's laying out what He wants us to do. And so Paul tells them to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I have a long Greek word for present, but it means to put at one's disposal. So you bring your body to God, and you put it at His disposal. Bring yourself to the altar as a sacrifice and present yourself. So this, God is used to this. He's used to having sacrifices presented to Him at the altar, but not quite like this. Because He doesn't want a sacrifice to be killed and blood to be sprinkled on the altar. He wants us. And He wants us as a living sacrifice. Now, what do you think about being a living sacrifice? Anybody have any thoughts on that? That's perfect.
But I think the song we sang about I would be poured out and lying upon the altar for you. Anyway, it has to do with being a sacrifice for others.
Well, it gets into others. That's right. It is because we are a living sacrifice, and where are we living? And who are we living with? We can't be a living sacrifice, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and only do it in a spiritual way. This is also a physical way. My question was, how can the living body become a sacrifice? And that is by denying yourself. Just like we've heard. Be holy and acceptable to God. It says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So be holy and acceptable to God. And I think we have to have intent when we do that. Did the lights just get dark? A little? No. Okay. Well, if I drop over, come pick me up. Be holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, when we pray, do we think to ask God to help us to be holy and acceptable? You know, who will go to Philippians 4:8? Philippians 4:8. Any volunteers? Okay, John. 4:8.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
Okay. So we can be holy with intent. We can renew our minds all the time and be holy. But how are we really holy? How are we holy? Exactly. That's how we are really holy. But we can make an effort to be holy with intent. Live holy lives. So if we don't intend to live holy lives or have an intent to be holy, can we really expect the blood of Jesus if we never have that intent? If we don't have that intent and we are not repentant, we can't expect the blood of Jesus to cover us. So we need to make an effort with a great intent to be holy. Any input?
Mark Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's our goal, is to be like God.
It is. And we have to have intent. We have to live that life with the intent of that. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think this is very interesting. Shows us the enemy of our pursuit. The enemy of our intent to be holy. And that is the world. Have you ever seen examples? And it says, transform by the renewing of your mind that you may and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Have you ever seen an example of people being conformed from God to the world? Does that happen? It does happen. So we can also be transformed from the world to God. My son said, I was talking to him, he was a teenager. I was talking to him about the friends he was hanging out with. I was telling him how I was concerned, you know, and he goes, well, Dad, they're not going to make me do anything I don't want to do. And I knew that was true because I couldn't make him do anything he didn't want to. They're not going to make me do anything I don't want to do. And that, I don't think that that's an untrue statement at all. I thought about that for a little bit, and I said, son, I'm not worried that they'll make you do something you don't want to do. I'm worried
that they'll make you want to do something that you wouldn't normally do. And I think that's the way that works.
Right.
We can be conformed to the world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Fear pressure is a dangerous thing. So do you think you can get peer pressure from social media? So Satan has another tool. So years ago when Facebook started, a friend of mine called me up. Mark, you've got to get on Facebook. Really, you've got to get on Facebook. And he was putting the pressure on me. And I said, I don't even know what it is, Bill, but... Okay, so I signed up and I spent almost no time. I don't know how long it's been out there, but I spent almost no time on it. And the other day I saw him and he goes, man, that Facebook, I had to get off of it. It is terrible. I said, Bill, I'm on Facebook because you got me there. And now it's terrible. So peer pressure is not good. It can be good. So here we are. We're peers. We are peers. I heard somebody say not very long ago that one day a week is not enough. He wants to come to church more than that. And he wanted to be at church on Wednesday. And, you know, when you look at the number of hours that we're influenced by the world, then... I got to tell you, I started watching these basketball games. I haven't watched regular TV in a long time. Wow, these advertisements. So many of them. I forget what I'm watching before it starts back up again. And then, I mean, influence is all over. It's all over. Last part of verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is very interesting. So, I've heard people say, well, if God wills, I will do this and that. And it's always a question. So, what do you think about this? Is this a promise that if we are transformed and from the world into a walk with God, if we're abiding, that we can know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Do you think that's a promise? I do too. I never looked at it like that before. But it seems like if we're not under the influence of the world, but we're following God, that we can know His will. Anybody have any other? That is true. That is definitely one way to renew our mind. Any input? Any thought? All right. So in verse 1, we're going to see as we go through this that God has laid out some things and attitudes that He wants us to follow. And verse 1 talks about them as reasonable. And so I thought that was also interesting. What is reasonable in light of what God has done for us as laid out in all of Romans up to this point? What is reasonable? What could God ask us to do that was too much? We would say, God, that is not reasonable. Do you think there is the line in the sand where we say, God, that's, you're asking too much?
And not necessarily. God knows what we can do. He's not going to throw anything at us.
Right. Right. Well, that's true. That is true. So, whatever God lays out for us as we move forward is reasonable in light of what He's done and what Romans has laid out that He's done. God is just. God is a just God and would not hold us to His expectations unless He's made His expectations clear to us, and He does. He has done that, and throughout the Bible, he just continues to do that. About the renewing of your mind, who will do Psalms 51:10? Psalms 51:10. Who will read that? I'm going to get 2 Corinthians 4:16. Heart, O God, and a steadfast spirit within me. So God wants us to renew our minds, and He will make that happen for us if we have that desire and intent. There's nothing that God, is there a question about that being God's will? Don't let me be conformed to the world. Renew my mind, create in me a new heart. We should pray that every day.